welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Kyle McArevey of the News Tribune. Kyle, I think, obviously, we knew that that was going to be a big matchup last week. Mm-hmm. You know, two top 25 teams. We talked about it a lot. We knew that it was going to be a game that was going to be kind of a, maybe a statement game. You know, the statement is that, you know, they get a victory against a team that pushed them. I'll get to it in a minute, but obviously I think that's the first thing, and, you know, you probably want to speak to the fact that this was one of those games where, yeah, you get punched in the mouth and you got to see what happens, and yeah. They responded.
Yeah, and I'll start by saying Boston College is legit. Mm-hmm. That's an actual team. They were good.
Right.
We talked going into last week about how Missouri hadn't been tested at
right.
all. Right. There had been not a single snap that had any added pressure on it
sure.
for the first two games. There were snaps with some added pressure.
Right,
last
right.
week, you go down 14-3. How do you respond? Well, you respond with 24 unanswered points and get the win.
Yeah.
So that was, I think, the big statement from last week's game is, like you said, Missouri took its first punch of the year,
right.
and it stood up, it hit back, and it got the win.
It was such a weird game, though, from a standpoint of, you know, it was extremely well played and highly entertaining for the first half. And, you know, really, really, I think, high-quality football. Then you kind of get to that third quarter where things get to be just kind of a foul fest. I mean, anytime you end up with a second and 59, you go, something weird's going on in this game.
That's the first time I've ever seen that.
Yeah, that was bizarre. And both teams just kind of got, I think, a little bit distracted and let the other stuff of the game kind of fall in there. So you go, okay, well, this game's going to, you know, you're out of control. But Mizzou still at that point still kind of building on the lead. And then all of a sudden it looks like, oh, this is going to be very comfortable. And they're going to win going away. And it's maybe, you know, yes, maybe they show that they're clearly better than this team. They're clearly the number 6 team, or that one was the 24 team or whatever. And they're a separation. Well, then all of a sudden it got tight late. And you go, okay, wait, we still have a game on our hands. So it's just a very strange feeling game. The one thing that you can say, though, is you got to win at the end of all of that. You know, and sometimes you have to be able to manage weird detours that happen in the midst of games and go, yeah, but we got to still keep plowing ahead, and they were able to do that. But it was, just seemed like it was almost three separate games, you know, kind of at different phases of that game.
Yeah, and, you know, defensively, two of Boston College's touchdowns were very long and very open
right.
passing plays.
Right. right.
So I think, you know, a couple of major breakdowns. Not trying to take anything away from that. Those guys
right.
on both of those plays didn't have anyone within 15 or 20 yards of them. That was bad.
Right.
But, you know, that's two plays.
Sure.
If you remove two plays from a football game, then you're looking at, you know, 27-7.
Right.
And it's a very different narrative
yeah.
afterward. But you can't do it. You can't take out the plays,
right?
Like, Missouri
right.
made very blatant mistakes
yeah.
on a couple of plays, and they almost those mistakes almost cost them a football.
Right. I guess the one thing you can say is, you know, Thomas Castellanos, the Boston College quarterback, comes out of that game with a good stat line, ends up looking okay. But I thought there were parts of the game where, like, he looked a little shook, a little rattled, like they were kind of getting in his head and he wasn't as comfortable maybe as he wanted to be. Early on, he looked great. And
yeah.
all of a sudden, it looked like, no, we figured him out and now we're going to have no problem the rest of the way because we have figured him out. Now, to his credit, he stuck in and, yeah, you got that long passing touchdown at the end where I think it looked like almost a breakdown in coverage where
yeah.
you go all of a sudden, well, that makes him look a lot better. But, you know, it did look like for big portions of the game, we knew to be successful, the Tigers were going to have to shut him down. And I think they did do a good job of that after, you know, after that first quarter on. I think they did a pretty good job of limiting a guy you needed to limit.
So we talked last week a little bit about how Scott Van Pelt compared him to Kyler Murray, and like, I see it.
Right, sure.
That was maybe the best I've seen a quarterback at just escaping the pocket and, you know, continuing a play with his legs.
Right.
And yeah, through, you know, the first couple of drives, he looked very efficient and very solid. Missouri's then able to contain him a little bit better. And then, you know, with Boston College up 14-3 or 14-6 at this point, Missouri just kicked its second field goal. He kind of throws up a deep ball. Travez Johnson comes down with it. The whole momentum swings.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
after that, you could see Castellanos was having a little bit more trouble. And then, like you said, you know, not just a blown coverage. It was the same thing on the second touchdown you know, the first real long touchdown for Castellanos was a fumbled snap, and kind of the entire Missouri defense comes down to the ball.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Coach Drinkwitz used the term after the game of it looked like peewee football, of just like everybody sees a ball on the ground and everybody drops out of coverage.
Right, right.
And then, oh, hey, look, there's two guys with nobody within 15 yards of them.
Right, right.
Either one has an easy 77-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
It was kind of the same thing on the second one. It wasn't a fumble, but Castellanos escapes the pocket, scrambles a bit, and Missouri's defense kind of falls toward him out of coverage a little bit, leaving a guy over the top wide open.
Yeah.
So those are sequences that are able to be corrected, but it's going to take, you know, it wasn't just one guy blowing coverage. It was the entire defense collapsed forward.
Absolutely.
And left, you know, one, two guys over the top with nobody anywhere close.
But I do think you bring up a good point in that Trevez Johnson interception was so big. It seemed like it literally, I mean, you go, yeah, a play can flip a game here or there, and we all know that. But that play felt like it literally flipped everything. I mean, it not only made the defense start playing better, but I think the offense kind of was like, okay, yeah, let's go do some actual scoring and not kicking field goals.
Yeah, and you know, you can't discount how important it was for the offense to then capitalize.
Right, right. Absolutely. Sure.
Like, that interception is enormous and absolutely swung the momentum. And then the offense drove down, scored a touchdown, went for two, tied the game.
Right.
That sequence of 4 minutes, however long it was, absolutely swung the game, starting with the interception.
Yeah.
That was the major, major turning point in that match.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess that's probably good enough to talk about that, other than maybe just looking at a couple stat things. You know, big game for Nate Noel. I mean, I feel like, you know, 121 yards rushing, that's something where you're like, okay, you know, we feel like this team needs to be, you know, dynamic and have, you know, a multi, you know, we can run, we can pass, we can do whatever. And I think that he's settling into a role where it looks like he's going to make that running game, you know, something to contend with going forward.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he and Marcus Carroll have both done a very good job for the first three games. Nate got the majority of the touches this past week, and he has been getting the majority of the touches. But that's kind of the design of Missouri's run game most of the time is a little more zone-based, and Nate Noel's very good at the zone running scheme. That's what they ran at Appalachian State. So he's been, you know, fully engrossed in that type of run scheme for a long time. I would just say don't discount Marcus Carroll as being option 1B.
Okay,
because if they go into a game thinking, instead of a zone running scheme, we're going to have to power run, then it's going to be Marcus Carroll.
Yeah.
So, Nate Noel played absolutely fantastic. I think he is up to speed with the offense. We'll see as you get into SEC play how that plays out against, you know, week-to-week, slightly higher quality opponents.
Right.
But I do think both of them have done a very good job through these first three weeks and shown that they can really keep up.
One more final point from that game, I guess, would be kind of a good news, bad news scenario for Luther Burden in terms of good news, caught a lot of balls, scored a touchdown, got a lot of yardage, and then did two of the stupider penalties you're going to see and really hurt the team, I think, in terms of you go, you know, this is something where, you know, that did, maybe didn't necessarily hurt you in this game, but stupid stuff like that is going to be problematic if you keep doing it later on. And if you let somebody get in your head and you lose your composure, it's not going to be good for when a game is tight late.
Yeah, he made a couple of mistakes that were described as selfish after the game.
right.
I mean, kind of playing meatball. And he recognized that after the game. He came out and was one of the players who talked to us in the press conference and said, you know, I need to be better about that. I can't be letting stuff like that get in my head and making mistakes like that. I need to focus on playing team ball more. But, you know, and Coach Drinkwitz talked about it too, and then concluded by saying, but I sure am glad he's on our team.
Sure, right.
Right. Like, yeah, sometimes guys can get caught up and make a mistake like that. I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, you have to take the good with the bad. You just hope that there's not much bad and you're getting more good.
Right.
Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So I guess the focus shifts then this week. It's another home game, 3:15 today against Vandy. Start of SEC play. It's on the SEC network. So I guess the thing is you go, okay, every year we kind of come in going, okay, this is going to be a Vandy team where you go, okay, probably not much of a challenge, probably going to be kind of a walkover game. And then you kind of look at Vandy after week one when they beat Virginia Tech and you go, oh, maybe Vandy's better this year. And then you get last week where Vandy loses 36-32 to Georgia State and you go, maybe Vandy's still Vandy. So I guess I'll just ask you first off, is Vandy still Vandy, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, I will say most of the matchups with Vanderbilt the last few years have been tougher games than expected.
Sure.
So calling it a walkover game is probably a little bit of an overstatement. Okay. I don't think Coach Drinkwitz and the staff are going to have the guys kind of looking past this, especially even with, you know, a bigger matchup coming next week.
Right.
The focus is certainly still going to be on this week. But yeah, I mean, it's Vandy. They're not very good at football. They haven't been very good at football. They probably will continue to not be very good at football.
Right. So I guess, you know, the big thing is, I guess, in terms of if you're looking for a through line, it's another week with a dual threat quarterback that you have to be concerned about.
Third
so
straight.
Yeah, so I guess the Tigers should be pretty prepared for what they're going to have to do this week.
Yeah, I mean, you faced it the last couple of weeks. Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia is, I think, how you pronounce the name. Might be Pavia. I'm not quite sure. He's the team's leading rusher by a good bit.
Right.
He's got 195 rushing yards to Cedric Alexander's 165. And, you know, 14 more carries. That would involve sacks. So, you know,
sure,
not all positive.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely the main rushing threat on the team. So you might even see, you know, last week, Castellanos, after the first drive was very much him being involved, moving the ball downfield with his legs. After that, it was more escape in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
This week, it might be a little more focus on designed runs for Pavia, or, you know, trying to get him moving down the field.
Right.
Which is a slightly different look, but that's a little closer to what Buffalo was trying to do, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of the same thing you've been seeing for a couple of weeks now.
So I guess the you know, the thing that you look at and you just go, okay, I do feel like that, yes, it's their third straight of this. I don't know if maybe this probably isn't maybe the third best out of that string of three, though. So I guess that we'll find out today is how much of a threat it actually is. So if you know coming in he's a threat, both arms and leg, you go, okay, then who's the second guy that might be the guy that beats you? And you go, okay, well, what does that mean? You know, who is it? You know, is it somebody? Is it a receiver? Is it another running back? Well, you mentioned the running game. It doesn't look like there's any, you know, gaudy totals there. So you also look at it and go, well, I don't know then, you know, who you look at from a receiving standpoint that scares you. I mean, they've got a couple guys with one touchdown apiece. So it's not like you go, okay, that's clearly the guy. So if there's not, you know, if there's not a guy that scares you in terms of we have to be worried about the quarterback and then we got to be worried about this guy, it almost leads you to think that this might be a game where the defense can kind of play fast and loose, where it's not like we got to know where this guy's at all times, and kind of this might just be a play from the snap, beat your guy, and then make an impact.
Yeah, I think the main focus for the defense, especially after those couple of mistakes that led to scores last week, is just going to be, you know, making sure you are in the right place at the right time.
Right.
Focusing up on staying in position and not letting that kind of fall down toward the line thing happen again. But yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt's got a couple of receivers. Eli Stowers has 163 yards this year. When I was looking through last week's stats for them, I think he had like 11 catches for 140 or something. So he's able to produce a big game, but that's also the majority of his season.
Right.
And then they've got another guy, Quincy Skinner, who's at 123. So, you know, that's an average of 40 a game. I don't think he had much last game, so maybe that was, you know, another one big game before that.
Right.
It's possible. I didn't look into their individual stats from the first two games. So, you know, there is some explosive potential, at least, but it doesn't look like they've got anybody who's regularly producing 80 or 100-yard games or anything like that.
Right. So I guess then on the flip side is, I think this is going to be a game where I'm pretty confident in Missouri's ability to move the ball. It's just a matter of, you know, can make it sure that you get six rather than three when you have those drives. Is there anybody defensively that concerns the Tigers' ability to move the ball today?
Not that I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody who's, you know, jump off the field standout guy
right.
that I've seen. But, yeah. you know, there's always the possibility that the offense just goes into a lull for a while and,
sure.
you know, momentum swings.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not something that we haven't seen at all that happens.
Right.
You know, if you get off to a slow start like you did last week, then the possibility is Vanderbilt gets a lead early and is able to maintain yeah. it, you know. But, no, I don't think there's anybody who's, you know, a jump-off-the-page defender like
right.
that.
We got to see the return of Brett Northley last week, which was good news. Always good. I don't think he had maybe the breakout explosive loud game, but it was nice to see him out there and have to have a team have to account for him. So I guess it was nice to see him return last week.
Yeah. The staff didn't really want to get him super involved,
sure.
especially in the
Makes
run
sense.
Game coming off of a shoulder. You're not going to want him to block as much as possible,
right.
which if you're then making him a kind of receiver only tight end, that kind of takes away a little bit of the dynamics of his game where you're kind of worried about both.
Right.
I think the recovery has been fine from what I've seen with him. So, you know, this might be a week where he gets a little bit more involved and a little bit more involved as you go forward.
Sure.
Just kind of that natural progression back into the offense.
Yeah. Any other injury things of note that have popped up during the last week at all?
We actually got an injury report
Holy cow.
This week.
Nice.
I guess there's going to be SEC game mandated ones.
Okay.
The only surprise on there was Joseph Charleston. The safety was listed as questionable.
Okay.
I don't have any update on that. I saw it for the first time today.
Right.
So, meaning Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know quite what it is. He just popped up as questionable.
Gotcha. All right, I guess it gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you how you think this one plays out today.
I think I saw the line is like Mizzou minus 16 or so.
Okay.
I'll give him about that. I'll say Missouri wins 38-21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McRavy, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McRavy on Twitter at Kyle_McRavy. That's MCAREAVY. Thanks for listening.